Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Friday Drive. Yes, TGIF, everybody. The start of Super Bowl weekend. And we welcome you in here on this Friday from the WOW Business Studio, where you can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com. Here in the WOW Business Studio, Bill, Dan will be coming in here momentarily. Drew at the controls, and hour number one of The Drive brought to you by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and where they're also the sponsor of our hotline, where you can get through to us with your calls, questions, comments, 334-321-1390. And we welcome everybody here to the Friday edition of The Drive. And right off the top, let's give you some recruiting news that Auburn had been expecting to get, and nobody seemed terribly concerned, worried about it. But Jarquez Hunter, the top running back from the state of Mississippi, adding his name to the list of Auburn signees. And don't know why he waited till today, but apparently he had committed to Auburn when he was offered the scholarship a while back. So that is a definitely needed pickup for the Auburn football team, and that gives them four scholarship running backs that we know of now for the 2021 season, Dan.
It wasn't cleared up today as to why he chose today to commit?
I mean, I watched the announcement.
Cool jacket, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, his family was all there, so maybe it was the first time they could all be there together. But, yeah, he had his family there and just announced and put on the Auburn cap. And so, I mean, he's a guy, 5'10", between 190 and 200. But watch his film. He is quick, decisive cutter, and has good balance as well. You see some guys hit him, and he doesn't immediately go down. Has good balance, and then is able to maintain and really burst for some long games.
Who else was after him?
Well, Mississippi State,
right,
was the main competition. I believe Iowa was the other school that had been on him for a while.
So it looks like a pickup that may. I mean, we'll see. I don't know if it doesn't feel like Auburn's done at running back, right? I mean, you would think they'd like more than four in the room.
They probably would, but I don't think now it's an urgent need.
No, it's not as critical.
Because now you have three guys who understand the SEC and a freshman.
Right.
So, I mean, if they get another one, that'll be fine. But they now have four backs. And that's what we were saying, remember, with Brian and Jason last week. It's like, you really need to have at least four backs. Now they have four.
And I even think Devin Barrett's name came up, right, as ways to maybe try to extend depth at the running back position. And now he's making the jump back to his original position. And with Jarquez Hunter, you know, at least you've got four, which, you know, it ain't two. I mean, that's where you were.
It's a lot better.
Yeah,
better than two. And we understand Devin is now back in town and working out with the team and going to go through spring ball. So.
Yeah, I mean, the video he posted with Brad Lester was taken at Duck Sanford. So, I mean, I noticed that. I think it was Duck Sanford.
Well, I didn't notice where it was, but yeah, I knew he'd been working out with Brad. But good to know that he is back. Because he was down in Tampa toward the end of the season last year.
Right, he wasn't in uniform for the last couple of games, and yeah, it was it's good to have Devin Barrett back in the fold.
Oh, absolutely, and then confirmation on what I had I guess inaccurately asked the other day. I didn't phrase my question specifically enough, because like we said yesterday, I would imagine that Brian Harsin has had a lot more things to be concerned with than who has how many years of eligibility left, because if you call a meeting for players that are returning and you see these players there, you may not realize that some of them would have normally been out of eligibility.
And there's no reason for any. I mean, there's no.
No. It keeping things, you know, quiet or away from the press. I don't think there was any attempt to do that.
I don't think there's any advantage to keeping this secret or keeping this, you know, as confidential information. But Tyrone Truesdell and Grant Loy, starting defensive tackle and last year's backup quarterback, it's been confirmed to, I think Nathan King was the guy who got the confirmation from the university that those are two seniors who. It hadn't been, I guess it had been reported, but nothing had been announced. But those are now two more seniors who are deciding to utilize their extra year of eligibility and play another year of college football at Auburn. So Truesdell and Grant Loy look like they're going to go through practice as a quarterback and maybe in the case of Truesdell, the starting defensive tackle going into the season.
Yeah, very well could be. I mean, he was the starter last year. And
are they on your depth chart yet?
Yeah, they are. They are. I was looking to see where I'd put my updated one. I may have left it. On my printer at the office. But I'll remember because I was adjusting a lot of things there, and I believe, and I'll see if I can find it in here. But I believe that puts me at 82 scholarshiped players for Auburn for the upcoming season. But that includes six seniors, so you could have as many as 91. Now, Auburn doesn't have nine more spots available after the signees, but I believe they would have six or seven. So there's room. I would not expect Auburn to try to fill up with transfers because I think from everything that from all the recruiting sites and folks that I talk to, next year is expected to be a very good year recruiting-wise, and I think it would be wise to leave a few spots open where you'd be able to oversign next year after not being able to get to 25 this year.
Oh, certainly, we'll talk basketball a little bit later in the show. Sonny Smith
join us at the bottom of the hour.
I'm going to step aside for a Troy game, so I'm not going to get to talk to Sonny today, but I'll definitely check that out on the podcast afterward. But we'll talk basketball with a pretty big game for Auburn tomorrow. I mean, they're all big games.
It's definitely a big ball game now. I mean, Auburn, you know, a week ago we were talking about Auburn coming off their most impressive performance of the season. Now it's the opposite end of the spectrum. They're coming off a real dud. The last time out and back-to-back losses now. So Auburn needing to get things turned around against an Ole Miss team that had been struggling but is playing a little better.
I'm very interested to see what kind of Auburn performance you get, especially early in tomorrow's game. Is this a team eager to shake off the performance Tuesday night and go right the ship, or is this a team that's going to – is that going to linger and could it, you know, I mean, could Ole Miss coming off of a Tennessee win in the midweek, could they come in with some confidence and make Auburn, really challenge Auburn early? I think the very beginning of tomorrow's game is really interesting for both teams.
Yeah, I think so. And if we get a chance, we'll let you hear Bruce Pearl, who met with the media a couple of hours ago as well. But your calls come first, 334-321-1390. And let's go ahead and get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Spectre is up first. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, guys. I wanted to get the NASCAR report in before he left to go to the basketball game.
All right, sure.
All right, let me start off with the new season starting out. We're going to have a full season so far. The changes this year, we're going to have seven road courses added to the schedule, a full schedule, like I said, and Bristol is going to be a dirt track this year. So it'll be the first time NASCAR has ran on our dirt track since 1970. So that'll be interesting to see. Okay, of the 10 major race teams, I'll tell you the changes. Joe Gibbs Racing, who has Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., and the new driver of car 20 is going to be Chris Bell. Eric Jones has moved on to a different team. Actually, he's taking Bubba Wallace's place on Richard Petty Motorsports. He'll be driving to the number 43. Team Penske, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney hasn't changed. Stuart Haas, Kevin Harvick. Clint Bowyer has retired. Chase Briscoe will be driving number 14. Eric Armorello, 10. 41 is Cole Custer. Hendricks Motorsports, big change. Hendricks Motorsports started in the early 80s with the number 5 car. He's bringing the number 5 car back. And Kyle Larson, who was suspended last year for you-know-what, and he is back. He will be driving the number 5 car along with Chase Elliott. 24, William Byron driving the 24, and Jimmy Johnson, who has retired. Alex Bowman will be driving the number 48. All right, Chip Ganassi Racing, the old DEI race team. Kurt Busch is driving number 1. The new driver for 42 is Ross Chastain. Matt Kenseth has retired. He took over the 42 car for Kyle Larson when he got suspended. All right, Roush Racing. Ryan Newman is still in number 6. Chris Boucher is still in number 17. Wood Brothers, 21, hasn't changed. Matt Dinamino. Richard Childers Racing hasn't changed. Number 3 cars, Austin Dillon. Number 8 car, Tyler Reddick. J.T. Daughtry Racing. Number 37, Ryan Preece. 47, Ricky Stenhouse hasn't changed. Richard Petty, like I said. Eric Jones is driving number 43. The new race team of the year is 2311 Racing, which is Bubba Wallace will be driving number 23. And that is the latest on the changes. Now, the schedule starts Tuesday, February 9th. The Busch Clash at Daytona, which is a road course for 35 laps. And then on Thursday, February the 11th, is the Blue-Green Vacation Duel 1. It's the old dual, what they used to call it back in July, the dual firecracker duels. All right, there'll be 2 races of 60 laps. These races will identify who will be starting in the Daytona 500. Again, this year, there's no practicing. There's no interaction with the fans. There probably will be more fans in the stands, but the teams will not be able to practice, which is a big hindrance on a lot of teams, especially the younger teams. And so these two dual races on the 11th will, like I said, will decide who runs first, second, third on all the way down to Daytona 500 list. All right, Daytona 500 would be on the 14th. Now, Bristol, I told you, Bristol will be ran on dirt on March the 28th. So that's going to be something to see. Any questions?
No, I mean, that gets us ready for it's next Sunday is Daytona, right? So who I guess briefly, who would you look at as the early favorite?
Well, Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick, and Denny Hamlin, just like last year. It's going to be mostly a repeat of last year. But I'm telling you what, Kyle Larson, it was like taking Kevin Harvick and putting him on suspension last year. Now he's back racing.
Okay, so you like the guys who finished near the top of the leaderboard last year. We'll appreciate the phone call, Spectre.
Yeah, we've got to get to our first break of the Friday edition of The Drive. Again, Sonny Smith joins us at the bottom of the hour. One more segment with Dan, and we'll hit some other news and take more of your phone calls when we come back. Just underway here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Friday edition of The Drive with Bill and Dan. Dan here for one more segment. I guess I'll hang around a little past that because yeah. Sonny Smith will be joining us at the bottom of the hour.
If it weren't for Sonny, we'd just be running old tapes.
Yeah, that's right. We just run Spectre. We can run that for so everybody. We make sure everybody knows the lineup and the
that's right
and the schedule.
And we got the Daytona 500 a week later. You asked during the break. It is official. One of the One of the bigger baseball free agents out there making a decision earlier today, NL Cy Young Award winner Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, yesterday it looked like he was for sure going to the Mets, but no, he's going to be going home.
Yeah, he's going back to Southern California and joining a team that really just, I mean, it's great to see nice things happen to this franchise.
It's a shame,
you know?
they haven't had any talent or any arms lately, it's something they can add one.
Trevor Bauer joins the lineup in the Los Angeles Dodgers organization on a uniquely structured three-year deal that will allow Bauer.
It's tough for me to drop him this year.
Bauer will have the ability to opt out after both years of the first 2 years of the three-year deal, or choose to play all three of the years with the Dodgers. He'll make $40 million in 2021, $45 million in 2022, and he'll have
almost $1 million a week. Think about that.
That's right. More than a million.
$800,000 to $900,000 a week.
Right. It's about
a week.
If he starts 30 games in 2022, it'll be $1.5 million a start.
Over $100,000 a day. A day. Every day of the year.
And you know that's it's projected, and at the moment it is more than the
and twice on Sunday. So it's $100,000 every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
It's more than the current projected 26-man roster for the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's more than the projected roster for the Baltimore Orioles, and it's more than the projected roster of the Cleveland Indians.
And I think it's safe to say it's more than the three of us in this room will make combined.
This during the baseball season in
eternity.
That's right. In the baseball season in 20. Yeah, I would like Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer is going to come out ahead of us at least when the regular season is over in 2021.
He could stop in a few days.
He already has, probably. No, but yeah, so Trevor Bauer, the reigning Cy Young Award winner from the National League, joining a Los Angeles Dodgers team that is the reigning World Series champion and didn't. I mean, they lost, you know, Jock Peterson and Kike Hernandez and some pieces from
this
team.
That's going to break that franchise.
But it's not, you know, but the key. The key players from that team last year are back, and now they add Trevor Bauer to the mix and only become that much more dangerous.
Yep. So baseball getting closer. Of course, Super Bowl coming up Sunday. Love your thoughts on the Super Bowl. Anything on your mind sports-wise? Something else, though, in the news. Bigger news, I would think. Bigger news for Auburn football long-term. The announcement today that the Board of Trustees giving final approval for the new Football Performance Center. The facility is going to cost just shy of $92 million, which is going to be financed by university bonds with a debt service to be paid by athletics department funds. And the expected completion date, July of next year, July of 2022. It's going to be built on the side of the old Wilbur Hutzel track, and plan to cover over 230,000 square feet on a 12.5-acre plot.
And this is something that, I mean, Brian Harsin, if there had been dispute about getting this thing built, Brian Harsin would become the fourth Auburn coach to lobby to have to get this thing made, right? At least. Yep. Maybe it was a thing before Tuberville. I don't remember. If there was talk of this being needed, you know, before 1999. But I know that throughout the last half of the Tommy Tuberville era and since then, there's been talk of the need for a football-only.
Well, you know what it seems to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like that the facilities that are built usually don't come for the coaches that are the first to be complaining and campaigning for them. Usually it's coaches saying, we really need this. And then a lot of times, right after they're gone, the next coach gets that facility.
I'm
the indoor practice facility, the new arena, and now the Football Performance Center.
Right, and I'm willing to imagine, like, you probably don't have to go very early into the, I mean, well, you don't have to dig very hard as far as the first couple of weeks of the Bruce Pearl or of the Gus Malzahn era at Auburn, and Gus Malzahn probably talking about the importance of the building
right.
that we're about that has just been confirmed.
Oh yes, absolutely.
8 years ago, you know.
Tommy Tuberville was talking about needing a practice facility.
I mean,
when all there was the bubble.
But it sounds like
Coach Dye, the fortunate thing for Coach Dye was he was the AD.
It helps. Really helps when you can get the, you know, it helps when you're the one making the decisions that you're lobbying people to make. But yeah, I mean, and it was
Terry was happy as long as he got James Taylor tickets.
And it was a priority of Alan Green since getting the job to get this thing built and a big step today as the ink is dry right on the paperwork getting this thing built.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that. I did drive up Donahue today and get to see the new baseball facility there behind right field. So that's looking very good.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's a what's the timeline on is that next season? Is the expectation is that it'll be ready in time for the start of next season. That was something that was a labor to get to raise the funds to get that thing made. So glad to see progress on that front.
Yeah, so we've got quite a few things. Again, in case you're just joining us, Auburn picking up the running back Jarquez Hunter earlier today from Philadelphia, Mississippi. A running back who averaged 8 yards per carry for his career and ran for over 5,400 yards in 3 seasons. 8 games this year, and he averaged about 200 yards a game for his career.
Right, and we'll see what sort of role there is for him immediately. I mean, Auburn, I think by keeping Tank Bigsby and Sean Shivers in the fold after last season and getting Devin Barrett to switch over to his original position of running back, it reduces how much work there could be immediately for a true freshman running back. But that's a position where everything can change in one play as far as how ready someone is to get out there. So it can be it could be, and we've seen around college football teams have to go to the true freshman running back before. I mean, Auburn, it wasn't a situation where Auburn out of desperation turned to their true freshman running back last year, but I'm not sure Tank Bigsby opened last season universally recognized as the best running back on the team. It was something that took a couple of weeks and took the opportunity coming to Bigsby in order for him to take control of that position. And while Bigsby is a different he's a different type of recruit than Jarquez, I think there could be something early for Jarquez, and even if there's not, there could be a need down the line for his services on the field.
We mentioned SEC basketball. We'll talk with Sonny Smith here in just a few minutes. We've already had 2 games postponed for tomorrow. The Texas A&M Arkansas game had been postponed yesterday, and today Florida at LSU postponed, and Alabama with a chance. Alabama has a chance to nearly clinch. I mean, it's not to that point yet, but they can put 4+ games between themselves and the nearest competition if they beat Missouri tomorrow.
They're not far at all from a situation where it's you know, it would take them losing out, right? I mean, they're probably a win or two, maybe 3 away from. I mean, they would have to lose out.
Their magic
number
right now is 4 to clinch a tie.
Right, to clinch. And with the SEC, it's not as though, I mean, all you have to do is finish tied for the best record to win the conference in the regular season. Maybe there's extra significance in being a team that wins it outright. You know, whatever. The banners don't make that. The banners don't make that explain that if there was a tie or if one team won, but Alabama is getting very close to where, they're locking in at the very least a share of the conference championship and maybe winning this thing outright.
I mean, if we'll see how this one goes tomorrow at number 18 Missouri, and Missouri has had quite a few games that they haven't been able to play. They're just 5-3 in that, conference play, that, whereas that, Alabama's 10-0.
That might be the toughest game left.
Look at the schedule, it appears to be.
Yeah, that might be the toughest one left on Alabama's schedule in conference, and that's they do have to go to Arkansas. I mean, they have their toughest home game is probably Auburn because probably. Georgia and Vanderbilt, although Georgia had something to say about that last week, but it's amazing to think that most of the tough games look like they're in the rearview mirror for Alabama in the regular season, and yet they're standing there at 10-0 in the league,
and
15-4 overall.
Have they had any close games? Besides the Auburn game, have they really had many close games?
A close game for Alabama in conference play. The first game against Tennessee got close at the end. Right, they won by 8 in Knoxville, but they were winning by a lot more than that until Tennessee sort of closed in.
Auburn's the closest game they've had in the SEC.
I think that's right.
Yep. All right, Dan, have a great broadcast.
Absolutely.
And, good luck.
Troy's got a 7-game win streak at the moment in conference play, looking to extend that with a couple of wins in Statesboro against the Eagles.
All right. Well, good luck with those, and we will see you on Monday when we come back. Sonny Smith joins me. Love for you to stick around, then join in as we continue here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill here in the Wild Business Studio. Dan getting ready for Troy Women's Basketball. And very pleased to be joined once again, as we are on Fridays, by the one and only legendary Hall of Famer, and that is Coach Sonny Smith joining me here on The Drive. Sonny, how you doing today?
Doing fine, Bill. How are you? Good to be with you.
All right. Well, Drew was just telling me, have you had something else done here, recently?
I had a hip replacement yesterday.
Yesterday. Man, is it not amazing? Now, is this your second?
Yeah. I got twin fiddles now.
Well, let me tell you, I mean, I thought only old folks like me had something like that. I had mine done a little less than 2 years ago, and it's amazing how quickly – how quickly you're up and able to get around a little bit, and I'm just amazed. Well, I'm glad that you're back home and
yeah, I'm home and all my kids are visiting, and that's good to be able to be with them when I got home today.
I'll tell you what. Well, the great thing is when it doesn't hurt anymore. I mean, I know it's a good bit of work getting everything to where you want it to be, but just being able to either sit or lie without it hurting is such a huge thing. So that's great to hear. Well, we don't want to put you out too much, but it's great talking
to you.
Don't worry about it. Well,
I'm always glad to be with you, Bill.
Well, I was thinking a week ago. We were talking about Auburn coming off probably their best performance of the year, and going into the weekend feeling pretty good. It's a lot different this week because it's probably the opposite. Auburn's coming off one of, if not their poorest performances of the year, now looking to stop a two game slide as they get ready to host Ole Miss.
Yeah, and this is not going to be an easy one tomorrow either, Bill. Recently, Ole Miss has turned into a team, to me, that can control the tempo against anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when you're controlling the tempo, you do it mostly with when you got the ball. Ole Miss controls the tempo when the other team has the ball. He makes them play the way he wants them to play. By changing his defenses. His 1-3-1 zone, I've noticed now recently, has been probably a little bit more of his number one defense. But then he'll show a 1-1-3, and it looks just like a 1-3-1. And it'll be a total different coverage. He keeps you off balance. And when those guards and the two big guys that can really score too, when they're hitting shots, I think they're a real tough team to play. You know they're going to play in the 60s.
Right.
If you're playing in the 60s, they're usually the team that's going to win.
Yeah, and Shuler has been a guy that has really hurt Auburn, even though last time he didn't score a lot. He's still, defensively and spreading the ball around. I think he had 10 assists against Auburn last time. Those guys, they play so physical, and they really make you work is what just seems like I feel every time I see that Ole Miss team.
Well, you're exactly right, Bill. And, Shuler's going to be a big problem for Cerise Cooper because he is so fast. I mean, he is he's so hard to guard that he becomes very difficult. I notice he's making more plays for other players now, even though he's scoring more points. And I think I think they've just started playing their best basketball the last two games. But I said prior to that, people were taking care of them. But I think it's going to be if he can keep those two guards in the game and Shuler has a great game and they can control the tempo, I think we're going to have some problems.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're obviously feeling pretty good about themselves having knocked off Tennessee the other night.
Yeah, and Tennessee, they'll say, well, Tennessee's playing up and down. Tennessee's more up than they are down.
Yeah.
And they're a very solid team. And this Auburn team, I think, when Sharif got here, Bill, I knew he was going to be a great, great difference. But I knew that we would have to adjust to how to play with him. And then after watching another game, he's got to learn how to play, adjust to how to play with us a little bit too. And when that sounds crazy.
No, I understand.
I think, Bill, that they've had the two games to figure that out recently where he played different in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they'll be more together in this ball game. And I think Ole Miss will have trouble scoring on us inside.
Well,
I really do.
I sure hope so after the problems that Auburn had around the rim the other night.
That was unbelievable, wasn't it?
It really was.
Missing layups that we'd never missed before. Somebody asked me how good do you think Auburn's defense is around the basket? I say I believe they're the only team I've ever seen two guys block the same shot. And I saw that the other night with Jalen Williams and Dexter Chambers. Both of them batted the ball out of bounds on a block. You've been here just like me for a while. Have you ever seen anybody that blocks any better shot blockers than we're playing with right now?
No, I haven't. Now, one thing that Bruce has pointed out, though, is the reason they're getting the opportunity to block so many shots is they're letting too many folks get too close to the basket.
Well, now that's true. That is true. But how it's like, for instance, Georgia comes in here and they take their center and put him out and make it five out. Now neither one of our inside players are extremely good people guarding five out because they don't get involved in a pick and roll two different ways. And we're seeing a lot of that. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see Ole Miss be a little bit five out, but they don't have to do it because they're more athletic than you would think.
Yeah, that's right. Now, are you worried in any way about Auburn being so young and now with these couple of losses? They were still talking. Jalen was talking a couple of games ago about, we just need to win out so we can try to make a run at the regular season title. Doesn't look like there's really any chance of doing that. Is there any concern about these guys just going, this year's about over and starting to be distracted about game to game?
It would be easy to think that, but I don't think Bruce Pearl would ever allow that to happen. I think he's so good with the way he talks to his players, the way he prepares. him the way they watch film and the things that he goes through to get him ready. I don't think he will let that. I don't think he'll let that happen. You know, you think about this. In this last game, our players. I can't get these words out, Bill. Our guys with experience played worse than the guys with no experience. And so it can go either way. Like, for instance, Alan Flanagan has had two games that were not really spectacular, either one of them.
Oh, right. He's really struggled the last couple.
Yeah, the last two games. Well, see, that I just wonder a little bit if he has had more trouble adjusting to Sharif Cooper than the other guys. Because he's got to have the freedom. He's gotten so good at being – he's like an inside-outside player.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to have freedom, and I don't know if he can find it the way Sharif passes. But he's been hanging his head just a little bit, and he has been a major, major surprise to me. I think he's just been one of the reasons we won. But I thought the last two games, if he's having any kind of slump, it's over with now, I believe.
Sure hope so, yeah, because he has been one of the most improved players in the league, maybe around the country. But yeah, Auburn needs to get him clicking again. And you know what we haven't seen, really? I guess the South Carolina game is the only game since Sharif's joined the team that Auburn's even shot decently from outside the arc.
Yeah, somebody else asked me that. Why?
I'm not thinking there's any reason. I just think that, you know, it's time for them to hit a few shots.
Yeah. But that question was asked me on another talk show, and I couldn't give them a real answer. The only thing I noticed is different that is bothering us just a little bit is people that stretch his guards. And people that Devin guards, Dylan, I'm sorry, the two post players we have, the guys that they guard have gone out to the perimeter and played. And they're more athletic than those two or more experienced, either one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're beating them on pick and roll. It's easy to play the pick and roll one way. Say you're a postman guarding a guy that sets the screen. But when you're as a postman receiving the screen, that makes it different. So I think people now are exploiting the fact that taking our two post players away from the game. I think that's the way Georgia won the game the other night.
That's interesting. Sonny, I know you you need to get back and rest a little bit. Are you going to be doing the game tomorrow with Andy?
No, I'm going to. I won't be able to do anything for a while, Bill.
Okay. Well, I was going to say you could blame it all on the meds and everything if you did. But
yeah,
I mean, it's easier these days.
You could probably get some of that meds up today.
No, I tell you what, it's great. Anything to get you feeling better, Sonny. That's what we all want.
I got to take time with this so that I can worry about not falling or popping the thing back out. When it gets ready, I hate to miss because I'd love to be there for this Ole Miss game. I like the way Ole Miss plays, and I like the way we play.
Yep.
It's going to be a good game.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Sonny, well, I really appreciate you spending a little time. You take care. Do everything that they – I know you will. Do everything they say. And what's great is the experts, the doctors now, the surgeons now are just – it's amazing. And I know you'll be back out there on the tennis courts before too long.
Well, Bill, I got off the operating table and walked.
That's amazing.
That's something that just never you'd think would never happen.
No.
When they put me in my room, I walked all the way across the room.
Well, after doing one, yeah, I guess you understand.
Bill, it wasn't pretty. I wasn't walking real good before I got in trouble.
That doesn't matter. The fact that you did it, that's great.
Yeah, the fact that I did it.
Yep. Sonny, really appreciate it, man. Really thinking about you and get well and thanks for spending a little time with us.
Oh, my pleasure, always. You know that.
All right, have a great weekend. Sonny Smith joining me, and how about that, man? Hip replacement yesterday, walked off the operating table, and he's on with us today. I thought it was a big deal years ago when I first started over here, and I was doing Auburn High, and I had my knee scoped, and walked up the stands at Opelika High School to do an Auburn-Opelika game. But, no, I didn't. I think I was back on the air the next week after my hip replacement. But still, not doing, I mean, not the next day, I don't think. All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Lines are open. We'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill.
One here of the Friday Drive. Bill with you here in the Wow Business Studio. Drew once again at the controls. And the Kia of Auburn hotline open. Give me a call. Question. If you got any questions, comments, 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind sports-wise. Give me your pick, your thoughts on the Super Bowl. You know, it used to be we'd talk all about commercials. You know, it's gotten where the last few years I can live without them. Of course, I guess now everything's DVR'd. I'm streaming everything. I can back up and watch it if I want to. But I thought just for the fun of it, I'd like your go-to Super Bowl food. What is it? I mean, have you got something that you always, or is it just, it just depends. I mean, is it, you know, have you got, you know, an appetizer, or is there one thing that you always have on Super Bowl Sunday? 334-321-1390. Mentioned the couple of the news items of the day. The Auburn Board of Trustees approving the football only facility to be, and their expected completion date July of 2022. The addition of another football signee in Jarquez Hunter. Also, congratulations to Auburn Athletics Director Alan Green as the NCAA Minority Opportunities and Interest Committee is recognizing Alan Green and four other individuals as champions of diversity and inclusion for their work in supporting ethnic minorities and other underrepresented groups and individuals. So that's a big honor for Auburn AD Alan Green. 334-321-1390 is the number to get you through to the Drive. And to the phone we go, and Goose is up next. Hey, Goose.
Hey, fellas. So what's your go-to Super Bowl commercial?
Well, it used to be, you know, I always was looking forward to either Budweiser or Dorito commercials every year, but I don't think there are any Budweiser commercials going to be in the Super Bowl this year.
Probably not, but it's going to be hard to beat Puppy Monkey Baby.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I just saw that. I saw that show last night of the top 20, and I had forgotten Puppy Monkey Baby. But if there's anything 2020 taught us, is that we ought to bring that back.
Well, yeah, that one. I'll tell you what, there's some all time favorites. Terry Tate, office linebacker. The first time I saw that, I couldn't believe it. So yeah, I always hope there's something that is that's memorable and lasting for a while in this year's, you know, in this year's lineup.
Well, I think they've gotten off. You know, I mean, I'm a dog person and a horse person, absolutely. So I thought the dog missing the horse, like, you know, I'm just like,
yeah, that was.
You know, that'll bring, if it don't bring tears to your eyes, you need to go to church. That's just what it is. So. But I love Sonny Smith. Now, remember when him and who's that goober used to coach for Alabama?
Wimp.
Sonny and Wimp were good together.
They really were. Yeah. And those guys. I'm pleased. Wimp for some reason wants to talk to me once a week on his show up in Tuscaloosa. And yeah, those guys are great, great friends, and they have a lot of fun with and at each other's expense.
Yeah, they are good. They are good. I hate that I'm not in Birmingham working anymore, that I could catch that. You know, I had a hip replacement too. And so, you know, it's like you said, you just forget that. I mean, when I had mine, I had gone for like a year I considered it an honor. I had avascular necrosis, which was Bo Jackson's
disease. Absolutely.
So I said, all right, man, I'd take that, right? And then the PT lady shows up the very next morning and says, I want 10 steps. I'm like, I'm not giving you 10 steps.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is, I was like, it's like they said, you can't go home till you go up these three steps, till you go up these three steps. And it's like, okay. And then we got home, and I've got stairs to the bedroom upstairs and decided I'd go ahead and make it up there. It is amazing, though, what you can do and how well they do it now.
Well, if you remember, if you don't think Bo Jackson was exceptional, you remember he played professional Major League
baseball
with two artificial hips. He was playing for the Angels. He played for the whatever the Angels or that team out there. He had two artificial hips and was still playing MLB.
Well, I mean, he's a little better off physically than either of us ever was.
You know, I met him when I went to DiNardo's, and I was out of the Army, and I went to the College of Architecture at Auburn, and that was when they had 25-cent wings at DiNardo's. And I'm like, there's this big black shadow of that. I'm like, dude, you're Bo Jackson. And I'm not, right? And I said, man, I got to have an autograph. He laughed. He said, well, what do you want me to sign? And I was looking around. He picked a napkin up, and I wasn't going to do it, right? I said, no. I took my hat off. I said, sign my hat. And he said, well, you got to remember, this is 30 years ago. And he said, well, what do you want me to say? I said, say Bo knows Mark.
Wow, man, that's great stuff. Wow, that's great. Hey, Goose, we're out of time. Back with hour number two of the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody looking forward to the weekend. Looks like we could get a little more than a little rain here at least tomorrow, but Sunday looks nice for Super Bowl and just for the weekend. Bill here in the Wow Business Studio, where you can get 2 months free on Superfast Business Internet when you switch to Wow. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com. Hour number two of The Drive, brought to you by our good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic. We've talked about hip replacements a good bit there in hour number one. And absolutely. One of the things they do very well, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And yes, the better half had both knees replaced. Sonny has now had both hips replaced. And Sonny Smith was with us in hour number one. Hope you got a chance to hear Sonny. If you didn't, you can check it out on the podcasts. That are available here, brought to you by the Ag Tag. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can download the podcast of The Drive from the ESPNAU.com and the ESPN 106.7 app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Ag Tag supports scholarships, ag in the classroom, and youth activities. Purchase a Farming Feeds Alabama license plate at your local tag issuing office. Our thanks to Sonny being on with us in hour number one. Dan was on for a segment. He's got Troy women's basketball going on. As a matter of fact, just getting underway. So it's Drew and Bill with you for hour number two. We have some audio from Bruce Pearl we can get to. But again, your calls come first on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. Give us your Super Bowl thoughts, picks, and your pick for Super Bowl food. What is your favorite Super Bowl food for you to have? Or if you mooch on somebody else, what do you always hope somebody else has if you go over to their place to watch the Super Bowl? Or if you go out, what is that go-to Super Bowl food? Some news of the day. The Auburn Board of Trustees approving officially the football-only facility. The expected completion date, July of 2022, going to be at the side of the old Wilbur Hutzel track, 12.5-acre site Over 230 square feet is the facility. And that's big, big news for Auburn football because just about everybody else has one. Something that Auburn also didn't have enough of, they now have another one of, and that is a running back picking up a commitment this morning from Jarquez Hunter, 5'10", and somewhere between 190, 200-pound running back out of Neshoba Central High School in Philadelphia, Mississippi. Ran for about 200 yards a game for his career there, and that will give Auburn another scholarship running back. Remember, they were down to two just a couple of weeks ago, and then we got the news that Devin Barrett was going to come back and go back to his original position of running back. So Auburn now has four scholarship running backs, and yes, they may indeed pursue another to have an additional running back, but I think that now they feel much better that they'll have four running backs on scholarship heading into the fall. And speaking of numbers of players scholarship-wise heading into the fall, also got confirmation today that Tyrone Truesdale and Grant Loy, the nose tackle and a graduate transfer quarterback, are planning on returning and playing this fall for Auburn. So that makes six seniors that Auburn will have on the roster. And that may not seem like a large number, but remember, in the NCAA's eyes, everybody who was a junior last year is a junior again. So these are six players who could have finished their eligibility last year who are coming back. And who are those six? Well, I mentioned Grant Loy, and we mentioned Devin Barrett, who would have, you know, who was a senior at the start of last year, so is a senior once again this year. Auburn will, of course, T.D. Moultrie had announced that he was coming back, and he's going to get a look there at linebacker. So T.D. Moultrie, Tyrone Truesdale, Chandler Wooten had opted out and is back for his senior year, and then Trayvon Leonard. So those are the seniors on the team. And by my math, Auburn should have 82 players on scholarship right now. And they could have as many as 91, since the NCAA is going to allow teams to have the number of players who would have been out of eligibility that decide to return, that number added to 85. So Auburn's got plenty of room scholarship-wise. The addition of Jarquez Hunter gives Auburn 18 signees for this year. Again, there's still a question as to whether Oscar Chapman was on scholarship last year or waiting until this year. So Auburn could have six or seven spots available for possible possible transfers, whether they be graduate or undergraduate. Again, the NCAA is expected to pass in April the ability to transfer without having to sit out a year. I don't think anybody is thinking that will not happen. So it'll be interesting to see. Auburn, I think, will have more spots available than quite a few teams that they're normally in competition with. So I'm sure Auburn will be keeping a close eye on the transfer portal as it continues to swell as we head towards spring practice and following spring practice. One thing yesterday, I thought I go that reminds me of something I was talking about yesterday, and we had a caller wondering how could Alabama sign 27 players and after signing 25 players last year. And I said it's all in the numbers from any year that you are under the 25. You can have 85 total players on scholarship. You can sign no more than 25 initial scholarships in a year. Those initial scholarships are given to incoming high school, junior college transfers, or if you give a scholarship to any player who's been in your program for 2 years or less. All right, so what you have to do then is go back a few years, and you don't have to go back that far. In 2018, the 2018 signing class, Alabama signed 20 players. So that leaves them five scholarships. And if you get players in early, they can count back on the previous year. So in 2018, Alabama signs 20. 2019, they signed 27. So they could have counted five of those players back to 2018 if they had at least five get in early, and they had, I think, nine get in early. So five of those nine can count back. So that means they really only counted 22 in 2019. And then in 2020, they signed 25, but they had three spots left from the year before, so they could count those back, and that would leave them three more spots again this year. So as long as you keep doing that, you can appear to oversign until you get to the point where it fills up the number that you had from the prior year and this year. So with Alabama signing 27 this year, that means if they signed three back on last year, 24, so they still have one spot. They could either sign one more player, or next year they could count one back. So Auburn's got the same sort of situation where if they signed 18 right now and add Oscar Chapman to the number, that gives them 19. They have six more spots to either use for transfers, or if they don't fill all those six spots with transfers, any of those that are left could be counted back starting this coming December. So that's just sort of a quick math lesson on how you can see some schools that appear to continually be signing over. That means that sometime in the prior 4 years, they signed under and they've been able to roll back. 334-321-1390. That's the number that you need to keep in mind so you can join in here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Again, we've got some Bruce Pearl audio that we'll let you hear as the Tigers get ready for Ole Miss. Looking around the SEC, mentioned a while ago, Alabama can come close. I mean, they can really put some huge distance. There's a big distance between Alabama and the rest of the conference right now in that Missouri has the second least number of losses in the league with three, but they're just 5-3. They played two fewer games at Alabama. And Missouri hosting Alabama tomorrow, it is an 11 o'clock ESPN tip tomorrow in Columbia, Missouri, as Alabama looking to push Missouri back to the other teams that have four losses. Right now, Alabama's 10-0, Missouri's 5-3. Arkansas, Florida, and LSU are 6-4. Tennessee is 5-4. Then comes Kentucky at 4-5. South Carolina 3-4. Auburn, Georgia, and Ole Miss and Mississippi State are 4-6. Texas A&M 2-6, and Vandy 1-6. We've already had two games postponed for this weekend. Texas A&M at Arkansas. That's a tough one for Arkansas, who is in the trying to battle there in the upper echelon of the SEC. We'll see if they're able to make that up. I don't know if they will. And then the other one today that was announced, LSU and Florida. So three of the four lost teams will not be playing this weekend. And if Alabama beats Missouri, they'll push Missouri back to four losses as well. So here is your lineup for this weekend. In addition to the Alabama-Missouri game at 11 o'clock, that Florida-LSU game was to have been played at 1 o'clock. It's been postponed. So the next game will be Mississippi State at South Carolina on the SEC Network at 2:30. The Auburn-Ole Miss game is an ESPN2 game at 3 o'clock. Vandy at Georgia on the SEC Network at 5. And then things wrap up with Tennessee at Kentucky, 7 o'clock on ESPN. So that is the SEC basketball schedule for this weekend, as Auburn looking to, snap that two-game losing streak and beat an Ole Miss team which has been tough for Auburn, and Kermit Davis has been tough for Bruce Pearl as well. So that's coming up tomorrow, and when we get a chance a little later on, we'll let you hear some of Bruce Pearl's interview, his time with the media earlier this afternoon. 334-321-1390. We'll go ahead and get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in. Again, give me your Super Bowl thoughts, your pick, and that go-to Super Bowl food as we continue here on the Friday edition.
Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill here in the Wow Business Studio. Dan has a Troy women's basketball. He'll be back on Monday. Lines are wide open, 334-321-1390, the Kia of Auburn hotline. We'll get some Bruce Pearl audio in a little later on, but again, your calls come first. And let's get back to the phones, and Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. You?
Great, fantastic. Bill, I heard you talking about something when I come in the door a little while ago, and I heard you talking about it during the show in the first hour, about a new signee or something. Has there been a transfer or something in the portal?
No, it's another high school. It's the top running back in Mississippi, Jarquez Hunter.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I just caught the tail end of it, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, he's a guy. I mean, nobody was really worried about it. There were folks that were wondering why he didn't sign until today. I don't know for sure, but his whole family was able to be with him today at the high school, and he was able to have a little ceremony there. And boy, he's a good-looking running back when you look at him on film. A lot of folks have compared him to, and I think it's not an unfair comparison, to Trey Mason. He's a little little taller than Trey, but he is a stocky, sort of low center of gravity, got a great burst and initial first step. And when you watch his film, you'll also see him, I don't know how many times, he's got a defender, looks like he's right on him. He's able to plant and step and avoid him and then be at full speed. He's a really good-looking running back prospect.
You know, the thing that impressed me the most about Trey Mason and, like, Rudy Johnson as well is they seem to get stronger as the game went.
Right.
And that's a mark of a great running back right there. Because in both their cases, the fourth quarter, they were more dangerous than they were the first quarter.
No, you're right. They're liable to, you know, a lot of times they were liable to go for, you know, close to 100 yards in the fourth quarter if they were still in there for the entire quarter.
Now, Bill asked you the other day about the defensive line and the numbers there.
Yeah.
What about the offensive line? Because that was been a trouble spot for about a couple of years now. And it's just hard for me to believe that Auburn hadn't signed an offensive tackle since, 17, I heard?
18, actually. But, it may have been 17. It was Austin Troxell and Calvin Ashley signed. So, yeah, that would have been 17 because Austin was a fourth-year junior this year. And will be a junior again in eligibility next year, but he'd be a fifth-year guy. So, yeah, it's 17.
Wow. So what are the numbers like on the offensive line? Is there a certain amount of guys you want to carry? I know there's a certain amount of defense, and I wonder about offensive line too because, like I said before, that's been a real sore spot.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, it's not – the numbers aren't as big a concern as just, you know, the results that Auburn has seen. I mean, I've got a three deep for them. When I look at my depth chart, I've got 15 offensive linemen and they're three deep at every spot, you know, across the front. The problem is they've got the production at tackles has been not as consistent as you would like. So that's why I still would think that Auburn will be in the market for for somebody looking in the transfer portal for a true left tackle, if there's one in there.
Sure can't hurt. And also, does Auburn have a fullback on the roster, or is that just a non-entity almost anymore?
Yeah, I mean, it's more an H-back type. I mean, you know, J.J. Pegues could play that fullback type spot since he was a quarterback and we saw him in the Wildcat this past year. And John Samuel Schenker is a guy that lines up as a tight H-back. But it's more like an offset type fullback. Really, an H-back is more what Auburn's got now.
So not a true fullback, not a Heath Evans or a Reed.
None of the running backs. I mean, really, not like the running backs other than Sean Shivers are small. They're all in the 200-pound range, but they don't have any of the 230-pound guys.
Right. I think it's kind of a lost art, almost like the tight end position.
It is.
More of a big receiver than a true tight end.
Yep. That's exactly right. I mean, you want guys that can do more in space now, really, and you can use different methods of utilizing your better blockers.
Bill, I'm going to be in town in March. I hope I can stop and say hello. I'd like to.
Oh, yeah. We'll be here most likely. I mean, we're out occasionally, but, yeah, we'd love to have you stop in.
Take care. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too, Terry. Good to hear from Terry. And, again, it's Super Bowl weekend. What do you think? I mean, it's hard. Again, it's hard both ways. I guess it's hard to pick against Tom Brady, but it's hard to pick against the Chiefs. So should be a fun Super Bowl. I just hope it's as fun as you know we'd like anticipating the matchup. And then again, give us your thoughts, give us your pick if you'd like, and what is your Super Bowl food pick? I hadn't had anybody. Nobody has like wings, or is it a certain dip? Is it? I mean, do you do it up and do ribs, or do you, I mean, what do you? You know, is there anything you particularly like? Just let me know as we head on through. Again, all right. Terry was talking about numbers, and I mentioned the offensive line. Defensive line, now with Tyrone Truesdale back, there is a large number of large young men on the defensive side of the ball. Just all right for kicks and giggles, I try to keep up, and I'm trying to just sort of project right now on both sides of the ball. I mean, it's no telling with new coordinators exactly where people are going to wind up. But as you look at what could be on the defensive side, for example, at outside linebacker, I mean, I think Derek Hall is a natural there. Jason Caldwell was talking about Stone Handy. Caleb Johnson's a guy who's played some defensive end, but I think he actually fits a little bit better if you're looking at a 3-4 as one of the sort of rush outside linebackers. Then you've got Romello Height, who, of course, Auburn signed as a pass rusher last year at that could work at that spot. Your defensive ends, if you're in a 3-4, you've got guys like Kobe Wooden and Zacharius Walker and Dre Butler and Eku Liota, who Auburn just signed, along with Tabichi Okoli, Jay Hardy, Daniel Foster Allen. Is that about eight guys there at defensive end? Inside, your nose types, along with Tyrone Truesdale, who today, you know, got some confirmation is coming back. You can look at Jeremiah Wright, the true freshman who played a lot in the bowl game, who's 6'5", 340. Marquise Burks, Lee Hunter, Marquise Robinson. I'm not sure exactly where Ian Matthews, a lot of folks think Ian Matthews might wind up inside, but he's listed at 270 now. So that is 19 or 20 players on the defensive front for a 3 or 4 man front. So yeah, I think that Nick Eason and Derek Mason have a lot to work with up front there on the defensive line. And then we've already talked about the linebackers and secondary, and Brian Harsin keeps talking about adding more defensive backs. I wonder if those would be more safeties or more corners, because as I look at the secondary, it appears Auburn may be actually as deep or deeper at safety now than they are at corner, with the signings of Caden Bridges, Amari Harvey, Juwan Gaston, all as safeties, to go with guys like Smoke Mundy and Chris Thompson and Ladarius Tennyson and Zion Puckett, and then the Trayvon Leonard returning, as we were saying, and Eric Reed, I think, is really more of a nickel or a safety than he is a corner. So that's 9 or 10 guys there at safety. Maybe it's at corner with Roger McCreary for sure being gone after this year. And then Jalen Simpson, Nehemiah Pritchard at the other corner. There's Marco Domeo. Really didn't get a chance to show what he could do because of some injury problems. Then Auburn signed a couple of guys in A.D. Diamond and Kamal Haddon. So I would guess that if you're looking at more defensive backs, probably more corners. And that might also be an area that Auburn might look in the transfer portal for someone there as a possible cornerback. But yeah, again, I'll give you a quick breakdown of the classes. And this is odd, again, because of the COVID year. These are numbers of what these players, what they were this past year is what they are again this year. 6 seniors, who are coming back, taking that extra year of eligibility. Auburn will have, by my count, 19 scholarship juniors who would have normally been seniors this upcoming year. 11 scholarship sophomores. And now, I wouldn't worry too much about that because some of the guys who are either redshirt freshmen or true freshmen this year still will be eligible to go on to the NFL after 3 years. So it won't matter if they're still listed as a sophomore or a junior or whatever. But technically, on the depth chart, it would be 6 seniors, 19 juniors, 11 sophomores, 9 third-year redshirt freshmen, 22 second-year freshmen, and then 15 true freshmen that just signed. So, you know, amending what I said a couple of days ago, now with the addition of Jarquez Hunter, Auburn has 46 players who will be listed as freshmen on the roster this year. 46 of the 82 scholarship players. And they could add some more. Still don't know if there indeed will be a flip. You know, from what Darren Usher tweeted out a couple of days ago, Mary Flipmas. I don't think that was Caden Bridges. Could it have been Dylan Brooks, the Tennessee signee? We're hearing that Tennessee has 30 days to make a decision as to whether they're going to release Dylan Brooks from his scholarship. I can't imagine that it would take that long. I still don't think Tennessee has named a defensive coordinator and a defensive line coach, and I guess that's what they'd like before, you know, before Dylan, before they even think about letting Dylan Brooks go. But maybe that's the flip. I don't know. If it's not, then it may just not have happened, because you usually expect flips to be something that you'd like to get done as soon as possible. I know there's been some talk to perhaps Cody Brown, the running back from Georgia, from Parkview, by the way, where Brad Lester and so many other running backs have come out of, who signed with Tennessee, has also asked for his release, but Tennessee's not in any hurry to release him either. And I don't know for sure that Auburn is really pursuing Cody Brown, but we'd heard that Cody Brown could be interested in Auburn. We'll shift gears, let you hear some of Bruce Pearl's audio in the final couple of segments here of the Friday Drive. Again, give me your Super Bowl thoughts, picks, go-to Super Bowl food. Your calls come first. Key of Auburn Hotline, 334-321-1390. Back for the final half hour here on the Friday Drive.
On ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in for the final 25 minutes of the Friday Drive. Here we're just hearing some interesting commercials. I was giving Drew some of the some little maybe lesser known facts about some of our sponsors. Yeah, Rick over at Rick's is great. And it is, it's Rick's. You know, he used to be with Rex, but now he's got his own. It's Rick's. And his son is absolutely really Bubba. It's Rick and Bubba. Great, great folks there at Rick's. All right, as I mentioned a couple of times, and I think we have time right now to run some, Bruce Pearl spent a little time with the media earlier today talking about he was previewing his team, Ole Miss, and Brian Matthews, who is on with us Monday and will be back with us on Monday, got in a question about the football-only facility as well. So let's let you listen to Bruce Pearl as he met with the media earlier this afternoon.
Guys, good afternoon. Getting ready for Ole Miss. They handled us pretty good over there the first time. Turned us over with their 1-3-1. We struggled against it. We have, historically, it's bothered us a little bit. It's kind of feast or famine. Ole Miss is their second league in scoring defense. They're again, you guys get tired of hearing me say this, but they are the most experienced team in our league based on how many guys they got played for, as many years they have, a lot of transfers, and older, physical, scrappy, tough. They play with as much of an edge, I think, as anybody in our league. They're number two in forcing turnovers, so we have historically turned it over at least 17 times a game against them. We turned it over 17 times over there, and they turn people over 17 times. They get a lot of offense out of their defense. It won't be a high-scoring game. We've got to be locked in ourselves defensively. The things that we struggle with, offensive rebounding or transition offense, transition defense, that's something that they're pretty good at. And Shuler and Joyner are playing really, really well right now. They've got a lot of depth too. They got 13 guys in that roster, and 13 different guys have played at various times. So we'll have to play. And then for us, bouncing back from Georgia, that was tough. Georgia played well, we didn't, and so it'll be an opportunity for us to play against a team that we are going to be right in there with. I think the next few games, there's a pack in the middle of the league that's going to separate itself from one another, and we're involved in a number of those games against the middle of the pack here.
All right, we'll open it up for questions. We'll go ahead and start with Mark Murphy.
Yeah, Bruce, the two more games got postponed this weekend, SEC. Just wanted to check, have you guys been able to get vaccinations? I know the university's been doing the Moderna ones.
Yeah, our guys have been phenomenal trying to stay socially distant and healthy. We test three times a week. Fortunately, we've been good. We are in the regular protocol as far as vaccinations are concerned. So for those on staff that are old enough or can qualify through the normal university channels, some of our coaches have gotten some vaccinations in that process, some haven't. But there hasn't been anything, I don't think, there's been nothing that I would know of as it relates to student athletes at this point.
What a Jordan Hill.
Bruce, after that Georgia game, you spoke with us about how disappointed you were in the showing. Just what have you seen as far as from the team since then as you guys get ready for Ole Miss?
I mean, it was tough to come back. Wednesday they got off because they get one day off a week. That's when you play a Sunday, Tuesday schedule. Wednesday's the day off. So we came back yesterday. It took us about three quarters of our practice to finally get going. And we ended practice well, but it took us a long time to get there. It happens to all teams. I could chalk my team up to so many first times we've gone through some things because this is this first year for this group together. I don't know what's happening to other teams in our league. I can see results and I can say, man, South Carolina goes to Florida after Florida gets ranked and beats them. Tennessee looks like they got everything figured out against Kansas, and then Ole Miss beats them. For us, coming off of Missouri, Baylor, two ranked teams, you knew the Georgia game was going to be a challenge to be as excited about, but we worked on it and talked about it, and yet we didn't have that edge. And the thing I've told my guys, historic, what we do doesn't work if we're not flying around. It just doesn't. And so Georgia flew around, we didn't, and then there was a result. Now we could fly around and get beat. And we could have flown around against Georgia. Georgia could have still beat us. Georgia played very well. But we won't win if we don't fly around.
All right, we'll go to Josh Vitale.
You mentioned after the Georgia game some adjustments you needed to make that you didn't see the team make. What are those adjustments, and do you think you're in a position to make them going into this game?
You know, Josh, it's a good question, but it's like even last night was on, when I was on with the coach's show. You know, it's like I can tell you what the adjustments are. They're really more like improvements, and it's not that Kermit Davis or Coach Stackhouse, the next guy we're going up against, isn't watching film to see, boy, if Auburn doesn't get better at this, they're not going to win. You know what I mean? But it's hard for me to then go, oh, well, here is exactly what it is, and then tell my opponent, this is exactly where you should go to beat us because this is where we're weak. Now, they probably watch film and figure it out. But from a standpoint of, you know, being as open and honest, well, let me give you a list of the three things that we can't do. And so it's a great question. So obviously it's involving in certain aspects of how we're not guarding. Let's just say Georgia got 53 points at the rim, 53 points in the paint, right? Ole Miss is really good from two. They're better from two than three. They're really physical. They're really good inside. If we don't guard better in certain areas, Ole Miss is going to get to the rim, which is where they're good. And that'll obviously be a problem for us. So that's something. Remember in Arkansas, remember the points in the paint? Points in the paint. So rather than talk about what we got to do or how we got to do it, that's probably it.
Go ahead, Jordan Hill.
Bruce, looking at Ole Miss coming off of that upset win over Tennessee, what stood out to you the most about how Ole Miss was able to play in that game?
They were better than Tennessee that night. Bigger, stronger, beat Tennessee at their own game. They're the number two defensive team in the league. Tennessee's the best defensive team in the league. It was an absolute dogfight. Ole Miss, by virtue of the fact that they're going to play in the 50s and 60s, they're going to be in every game. Man, they had Florida beat at Florida. They're close, you know, and they are better than they were a year ago. Kermit's got really good pieces. Shuler was all SEC, and then you bring in Romello White, who was one of the better players in the Pac-12, and he's been consistently good and playing better. Joyner was the best offense. He was the best player in Cal State Bakersfield's league. He led them in scoring, and he's scoring really well here. The kid transferred from Samford is gotten better, and again, senior, really, Ole Miss, they could be a team that could make a run at the end of the year because they're big, they're strong, they're athletic, they're old, and they're going to guard you every night. Now, whether or not they're going to struggle scoring, that's been their bugaboo. Otherwise, they would be, you know, have an even better record than what they do. Earlier in the year in the non-conference, they were the best defensive team in the country before we started SEC play. Not everything having to do with the schedule. I mean, they were just dominating people. People couldn't score against them. They're hard to score against.
Go ahead, Brian Matthews.
Bruce, completely off topic, but what do you think about the $91 million investment Auburn is making into the new football performance center, and how much do you think it's going to help that program?
Well, all I can tell you is, 3 years ago, when I had to have a knee replacement, I spent a lot of time over in the football complex working with our wonderful, incredible trainers and physical therapists. And it actually broke my heart to watch our athletes coming in, having to do some physical therapy in every corner of the room. There was no space. It was an inadequate treatment facility in one of the top 10 football programs in the country. And this, in my mind, is if we're going to compete for championships, and in football we do, we've got to provide them with the resources and the facilities. And so I'm a big proponent of it. I'll be a supporter of it financially, my family and I. And I'm excited, you know, for the student athletes and the coaches. It's a tremendous investment, but we invest in our students here at Auburn. And we have high expectations for our students at Auburn. And so this is and we're the last in the league to really make this football standalone facility. And then what's going to happen is everybody else's facilities will benefit a little bit because of, you know, football moving out, and there'll be some good opportunities there for everybody to get a little better. So it's a great thing.
Are there any more for Coach?
That's Bruce Pearl earlier today with the media. And, yeah, Brian getting in a question there, and you heard Bruce's strong endorsement. So, you know, I heard somebody going, well, this better be as good an investment as the – remember how much complaint there was over the $92 million for the arena? That's turned out to be a pretty good investment. This one would have cost a lot less if it had been done a few years ago because, boy, the cost of construction has gone through the roof. But, no, this is something Auburn really, really needed. And speaking of something Auburn really, really needs, they need a win tomorrow to try to get back on track against an Ole Miss team that's feeling pretty good coming in. But you just can't tell in this league. Like he was saying, I mean, you look around and everybody's beating everybody else, with the exception of the team at the top. But, I mean, everybody else, it seems like you've got it figured out. Oh, these teams are – they've got an easy one tonight. And look at what has happened this week with Auburn losing to Georgia, Tennessee losing to Ole Miss, Florida losing at home to South Carolina. It has been crazy. And even though Missouri's ranked 18th, I think folks were a little surprised that Missouri – beat Kentucky. So Auburn sure can't take this one lightly, or, you know, keep their heads down as they've got Ole Miss coming up tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. We'll get to our final break of the show here on this Friday. Still time for you to join in on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. Thoughts on the Super Bowl, your pick, go-to Super Bowl food, anything on your mind, and we'll also go over a couple of things we didn't get a chance to get to yesterday as we continue and wind it down here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
With the right shoes, you can do anything. Which shoes fit your life?
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of The Drive here on this Friday evening. And, you know, we talked a good bit about Auburn-Ole Miss basketball. Don't forget, after the game coming up, join Zach Blackerby and Lance Daw after the Auburn-Ole Miss game right here on ESPN 106.7 for After the Game. They'll provide post-game analysis as well as take your calls, so make sure you call in to share your thoughts on the game. Should be around 5 o'clock tomorrow after the game, brought to you by Tzatziki's Mediterranean Cafe in Auburn, the Orthopedic Clinic, and Columbus Hospice of Alabama. Final segment here, and again, if you want to get in some quick thoughts on the Super Bowl matchup between the Chiefs and the Bucks on Sunday down in Tampa, first time ever that a team has gotten to play on their home field in the 55 Super Bowls. So how about that? But I mean, could you give any more little opportunity to old Tom? I don't know. Nobody's given me any Super Bowl go-to foods. I'm sort of disappointed on that. Something we didn't get to yesterday, and I was reminded of it again today. I mean, we had calls, and we really didn't get a chance to get into it yesterday. Auburn announcing its baseball attendance plan. Today, I got my email offering me the ability to purchase tickets to games as a season ticket holder. And I can go I have the ability to go to 6 non-conference games and one game of each of the SEC games from my status as a – this is because I'm a faculty staff season ticket holder in baseball. In basketball, I'm faculty staff. In football, I'm faculty staff and TUF. But for baseball – and one of the things that's interesting, it says Again, they're not going, whether you buy season tickets or not, because of the limited capacity, it's going to be approximately 20%. In accordance with the COVID-19 guidelines, Plainsman Park going to be limited to around 20%. But they do tell season ticket holders, please note with the limited capacity, your season ticket location will not be used for single game offerings for the 2021 season. Oh, I bet people will be sitting in my seats. They always are. When I when I get off the air a lot of times and there are ball games and I go over there, they're invariably people sitting in the seats. But, you know, I hope there are as many as possible, and just wanted to let, you know, let everybody know what the plan is. You that have been season ticket holders will be getting emails if you haven't already. As seats are going to be in pods of 2 and 4 with social distancing between each group. So, you know, if you've got, if you've been getting 2 season tickets, you'd be able to get 2 tickets to certain games. Then there'd be social distancing before the next group. And the same as groups of 4. And now a couple of the things that I know there's been some response to is that Plainsman Patio and the Tiger Terrace are not going to be available to start the season. And the viewing, which is very popular from the parking deck, will not be available for the season. Man, I know that has been extremely popular for people that are season ticket holders that prefer to just watch it from up on the top of the parking deck or out, you know, standing and watching. But that's not going to be and for the patio and the terrace, Tiger Terrace, at least to start the season, that's not going to be available. The student seating still going to be in sections 109 to 111, as well as sections 52 to 73. Student tickets going to be general admission and first come, first serve. And you'll have to have a valid Auburn Ignited card. So that still should be a good student crowd. And this is going to be a fun team to watch, a very talented team. So really looking forward to that. But do keep in mind that face coverings over the nose and mouth will be required for all spectators and game day workers. And while you're inside Plainsman Park, the only exception is while you're actively eating or drinking. So if you're planning on talking and not keeping the mask on, you better have some food in your mouth that whole time. But, yeah, I just wanted to update everybody on the plan for seating at baseball. Pretty much the same as it's been for football and basketball. Well, Super Bowl weekend, before we get out of here, I'm picking the Chiefs, but, you know, would not be stunned if Tom pulls off another one. But I think Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs just have too much for the Bucs, even with it being in Tampa Bay. Brian Matthews will be back with us on Monday. Dan will be back as well. By the way, the Trojans are up big at half. Things are going well for him. And we'll talk about Auburn basketball, Super Bowl, and much more on Monday. But we're out of time for the Friday edition of The Drive. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.